We would like to talk to Associate Professor of Biomedical Science at Deakin University, researcher Mr. Cenk Supioğlu. We would like to ask a couple of questions regarding the thunderstorm asthma epidemic. Firstly, what is thunderstorm asthma, which is in short TA, and what did your research in this area show us?
Yeah, hi there, Tanju. The thunderstorm asthma is meant to be a phenomenon, but now it's becoming a fact. Essentially, it's an asthma reaction amongst susceptible individuals to a thunderstorm. So it's an asthmatic response to a thunderstorm in response to allergic pollen in the environment. So it's not your typical asthma, which can be provoked by irritants, but this is allergic asthma, which means that you have to have a sensitivity to allergens. And most notably, in Melbourne, these allergens are from grass pollen, and in particular, ryegrass pollen. Now, our research from the late 80s have shown that pollen grains, because obviously you need small micronic particles to be able to penetrate the lower airways to cause asthma, even though we can't see the pollen grains from these grass with the naked eye, they are not small enough to penetrate the lower airways to cause asthma. So we need something much smaller. And what happens, and this is what we've published in The Lancet in 1992, that showed that pollen grains, in response to thunderstorm, burst, releasing these micronic particles, which are loaded with these allergens that are small enough to go down into the lower airways to cause asthma. Now, we've seen a number of these epidemics in 1987 and 1989, which actually prompted us to do this research as to what's going on, because more than 95% of the patients from those 87 and 89 epidemics had one thing in common, and that was sensitivity to grass pollen. And this is why it prompted us to do this research and identify what is going on. So that's our pioneer work that has given us a clue as to what is going on. And following 89, the next epidemic of thunderstorm asthma occurred 21 years later in 2010. And now, only 6 years later, fourth epidemic on the 21st of November 2016. So it's getting obviously more common if you look at the facts, and perhaps climate change is contributing to this.
Due to this epidemic, people lost their life, unfortunately. But why is Melbourne such a hot spot for thunderstorm asthma?
Good question there, Tanju. And before I answer that, my heart goes to all of the sufferers, and especially those who've lost loved ones. This is very tragic indeed, and one that we are closely looking at, and to avoid it from happening, or at least give advance information to people that there is risks involved, which we'll get to that, I'm sure, in further questions. But why is Melbourne such a hotspot for thunderstorm asthma? Good question. Obviously, Melbourne is been dubbed as the allergy capital of the world, but also thunderstorm asthma capital of the world. And both of those are linked to one common factor, and that is grass pollen allergens. Melbourne has lots of grass growing, and particularly this year we've been receiving unusual rainfall, which means that more rainfall, more grass meaning more pollen grains. And as a result, more pollen grains is going to mean more allergies. Because there is a lot of pollen release, and during the hay fever season, which spans from September to pretty much beginning to end of February, because it coincides also with our summer, and traditionally we see a lot of cool change coming through following a very hot day, and thunderstorms obviously form. And it's the perfect model system for having these pollen grains in the air, and then thunderstorm coming along, stirring up with gusts the pollen grains that are available, and then with rise in humidity and very minimal rainfall, these pollen grains burst, micronic particles are released, and obviously this impacts on the population. So we have this fantastic model system, which has also been seen elsewhere as well.
Has this been seen anywhere else? Yes, I think you were talking about that too.
Yeah, we have seen this obviously 4 times in Melbourne, but also within Australia, Wagga Wagga, which is part of New South Wales. In October of 1997, they've also had their first epidemic. Again, during hay fever season, grass pollen implicated. 90% of the patients from that thunderstorm were also, surprise, surprise, allergic to grass pollen. And in particular, when they were tested to ryegrass pollen, 96% showed sensitivity to ryegrass pollen. And it's not just Australia. We've also seen this happen in UK, USA, and Italy, just to name a few. And there is obviously a concern internationally that wherever you have allergenic pollen and you have the other ingredients for thunderstorm asthma, it is a potential risk.
And finally, I would like to ask about the prevention of this epidemic. What can be done to prevent future epidemics of thunderstorm asthma?
Yeah, another good question. Basically, we don't want this to be happening again. How many more of these epidemics in Melbourne do we have to endure for something to be done about it? And I have, as I have said over the last week since this tragedy has occurred, and contributing to these discussions in the media to make awareness. I think the best way we can prepare ourselves for future epidemics is to have awareness. This is nothing new, Tanju. It is. It has happened in the past, it has just happened in the present, and it will happen in the future. So we need to be prepared. And when I say prepared, the patients need to be aware that they are at risk. Anyone who has allergies to grass pollen are at risk of asthma. And these people get caught by surprise because they never had an asthma episode before. So during hay fever season, I suggest that individuals who are allergic to grass pollen carry their medication. If they don't have any asthma plan in action plan for asthma, they need to put one so that they do carry their medication. And what I'm referring to is a bronchodilator, so that if they get struck down with any difficulty in breathing, at least they are prepared. And another aspect is to stay indoors. The pollen grains and micronic particles are occurring outside. So by staying indoors, you're minimizing your extra exposure. And also call for medical help. But at least until the medical help, like an ambulance arrives, you've got your medication at hand that will allow you that peace of mind and insurance until help arrives. Our hay fever season, as I said, is only a very short period. So in order to prevent this, we should be prepared for that whole pollen season. But in particular, the month of November, which the single month that we've seen 4 epidemics in Melbourne occur. So that's the peak pollen release or pollen season. So by being extra vigilant during that month, at least we know that we are prepared. When I mean by we, that involves the patients, the physicians, and respiratory physicians in particular, as well as the healthcare system. So being prepared is very, very important. And down the track, we are looking to instigating alert mechanisms so that patients are alerted. And on that note, we actually have a part of Deakin AirWatch at Deakin University. We actually do have that prediction, but obviously people need to log, get onto the internet and be able to see that. It's a free resource available to everyone. And this is the reason why, with limited resources, we've established that to inform the public and the academia as well as the healthcare system. And with us working further with our colleagues, we envisage to produce an alert system so that this can be better distributed amongst the public. And I have been asked questions about what about if it's a false alarm, because you need that perfect storm to have this thunderstorm asthma. And my response is, it's better to have a false alarm and be prepared for it than what we have actually just witnessed last Monday. So it's better to at least be prepared and have that expectation that a risk might occur so that we avoid future occurrences with such devastating outcome that we've witnessed last Monday.
Thank you very much for this interview, Associate Professor Supioglu.
My pleasure, Tanju.
Associate Professor of Biomedical Science, Academic Cenk Supioglu of Deakin University. He's a researcher on biomedical science.